Hey, it's Christine from Storyworthy. Do you get along with everyone in your family?
She was awful at the wedding. She called me a C-U-N-T. She, you know, threatened to leave with her children, who are the flower girls. So I had to be apologizing to her. And I never wanted her in the wedding. I told my mother because she was very difficult during my sister's wedding.
Is there anyone in your family you don't talk to? On today's Storyworthy, comedian Heather McDonald talks about being estranged from her sister.
And then it really continued on to more and more drama. A first restraining order came after my son's first birthday. He's now 14. Second restraining order came in 2006 when she attempted to burn the bridesmaid's dress on my lawn of the house that we were remodeling. And then the latest one involved really around my mother's death.
Heather McDonald tells her story, Serial Sister, today on Storyworthy. Stay close.
Hey, it's Heather McDonald, and you're listening to Storyworthy.
Welcome to Storyworthy. My name is Christine Blackburn, and I'm coming to you from Wondery Sunset Studio in West Hollywood, California. I am so glad you guys tuned in today. Whether you're a longtime fan of the show or a new listener, welcome to Storyworthy. Now, I hope you guys had a chance to listen to my closet confessional last week. I went to the Middle East with Yakov Smirnoff. You're not going to hear that story every day, are you? That's right, I did. I went to the Middle East with Yakov Smirnoff. So if you didn't hear that story, go back and listen to it. But today, this is exciting, you guys. I have in the studio with me the one and only multi-talented Heather McDonald. Heather McDonald, you guys, she's here from Juicy Scoop. And I have to tell you, I have gotten so addicted to listening to her podcast, Juicy Scoop. And as you guys know, my Storyworthy listeners, I don't know anything about reality TV. Like, honestly, I don't know if a Kardashian walked in here. It could be Khloe or Carl or any of the Kardashians. I don't know reality TV, but the thing is this show Juicy Scoop, it doesn't matter if you don't know about it, because the way Heather talks about it with her friends, it's so funny. It's so engaging. I honestly don't need to see the shows, and I can totally catch up each week with Juicy Scoop. So for that, I am thankful. Now, here's the thing, you guys. Today's topic is Serial Sister. This is the topic that Heather brings forward, Serial Sister. As you know, I ask the guests what they want to talk about. I don't force issues. Serial Sister. What she means and what she's talking about is having an estranged relationship with a family member. And I don't know about you guys, but I have an estranged relationship with a family member. It's with my sister, and in ways it's really, really sad, and in ways it's completely fine. So I've come to terms with the way I, you know, my life without my sister in my life. Now, luckily, I've got three other sisters and a brother, so that's good for me. But I'm anxious to hear about what Heather has to say. This is it's almost a taboo subject, if you think about it. People don't talk about it often for whatever reason, but it's out there. And I'll bet you every single person listening either has somebody estranged in their life, a family member, or knows somebody that has somebody estranged in their life. Or would like to be estranged with someone in their life. All right, we're going to get to our story in just a second. But before we do, I did want to remind you guys to follow Storyworthy on Instagram and Twitter at Storyworthy. And of course, head over to StoryworthyPodcast.com to join my mailing list. Because you love me and I love you. And you should get a nice short letter from me each week declaring that love. You heard me. All right, you guys, let's get right to Heather McDonald. Now, listen, as I said, Heather McDonald is a multi-talented comedian, actress, author, and impersonator. Yes, you heard me, impersonator. Heather spent 7 years writing for and appearing on Chelsea Lately, and she also developed and co-starred on the faux reality show After Lately, which was damn funny.
Thank you.
Heather has also written 2 books. Now, I read the first one, You'll Never Blue Ball in This Town Again, which I can't even believe the topic of this book, because it's about when she lost her virginity. And I remember reading it saying, no way, but it's true. And you can learn about it too. You'll Never Blue Ball in This Town Again.
and her second book, My Inappropriate Life, Some Material Not Suitable for Small Children, Nuns, or Mature Adults, was also a huge hit. Now, Heather has written for movies, and she headlines all around the country as a stand-up comedian. And like I said, her podcast, Juicy Scoop, is really, really entertaining. It's on twice a week, and trust me, you will listen twice a week. And it can be found right here at Wondery Media or wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can find Heather at heathermcdonald.net or on Twitter at Heather McDonald. All right, you guys, wherever you are, put your hands together for the one and only Heather McDonald.
Oh, thank you for the wonderful intro. So I will tell you, it's a story, the way I came up with Serial Sister and calling it that is I've been doing Juicy Scoop with Heather McDonald for about a year and a half. And one day I had a guest that couldn't make it. And I do the podcast by myself unless I have a guest. And I said, you know, there's been one story that I've hinted at or talked about, and that is my tumultuous relationship with my sister. And I've never told it. I've never written about it in my books. I don't talk about it in my stand-up. But it takes quite a while to tell. When I've told it to a friend, it takes a couple hours. So I said, you know, Serial, the most popular podcast, it tells it in, you know, little segments. And I said, and she is like a, you know, you think of it like serial killer, but it's like serial sister in that it's consecutive stuff that she's done throughout my life to me that has not been pleasant. So, but it's a kind of a juicy, crazy story. So the story is my sister, Katrina, she is number three. I'm number five out of the kids. So two older brothers, Katrina, my sister Shannon, and me. And we came from, you know, an American-born but Irish Catholic family. Went to church every Sunday, Catholic school. And my mom and dad, and I think this is important to the story too, is like in analyzing my sisters through the years. So my mom and dad had the two boys and her, so excited. And then they were done. Then my mom went on the pill, even though it was against the church. She went on the pill. And then, like, some friend of hers had a blood clot or a friend of a friend. So she went off the pill. Then she had my sister Shannon by mistake. And then she had me by mistake. Then my dad found a priest in San Diego that would bless a vasectomy. Okay? And that was it. Now, it was interesting because right from the beginning, there are stories that my sister Katrina was four when my sister was brought home. And my mom, when we were growing up, would joke around and say, oh, you know, Shannon would have pinches on her body and stuff, that right from the beginning, I think that was a big adjustment for her from being the only girl to having the two other girls. And then as the years went on, we had great years where she was like 6 years older than I am. She was fun. She was a great babysitter. But then towards the teenage years, when she started to get in trouble, and my older brothers were always in trouble. They were smoking pot and selling it and everything. And my parents were working so much as realtors, they really weren't aware. Like, I can't imagine. Like, I was telling my friend, because my son just took an entrance exam for high school, and I said, I mean, now there's so many emails. You know if your child was 2 minutes late or if they forgot an assignment or what they got in a quiz. But back then, I think my parents didn't know that my brothers had been skipping school and anything for weeks and weeks. And so it was just a different world. So they were all kind of getting in trouble. But then my sister and I were always like the two little girls. And oftentimes Katrina would say, like, why am I lumped in with the boys and not the girls? Because we were good. Like, we just were. My sister and I just were. Part of us being good was my parents being like, she wouldn't come home from, a night out or whatever. And I'd wake up, I'd come to the kitchen, and they'd be in their pajamas. They hadn't slept all night. They're calling hospitals. And they looked at me and they're like, if you or your sister ever disappoint us like this, we will kill ourselves. That's what they're saying to us at like 8 and 10. So I associated with the minute you try pot, you're a loser, you know, all of that. So I, even though I had a fun life and I drank, I've always been very anti-drugs because of that, of them. So then time went on and she eventually got pregnant, got married, and all the things were fine. And then, because I was in high school, so I was always babysitting her one son at the time. And then I got accepted to USC while my sister was at Santa Clara. And I'm bringing this up because after I've told the whole story, which you can find on Juicy Scoop, is episodes 35 to 51, if you want to go back, you can for free, is that in analyzing it all, I kind of feel like something about me going to USC was like the beginning of just like a weird jealous hatred thing, which is very strange because my parents always said the three of them chose not to go to college. Like she did some JC and stuff, but they didn't go to college. And my parents always said, we would have paid for college. We're not giving you the money that we spent at USC and Santa Clara. But something about me going to SC, which was not much more than Santa Clara, just like, I don't know, just kind of drove her and that and like even her husband. And they would sort of say nasty things about me that I later found out through my friends many years later. Now, in retrospect, they're like, oh, my God, they'd be like, oh, yeah, she's really helping out. And I'm like, well, I'm going to college. Like what? It was just strange. But so then I'm single and I'm dating and she was very supportive because she was a stay-at-home mom. So if I was doing a show at the Groundlings or stand-up, she would love and she would come and she'd bring people and she thought it was hilarious. And that was all fine. But there was still traumatic stuff that would happen like with my parents. Like I remember when the car that I was driving of my dad's, it like broke down when I was SC. And he calls me and he goes, hey, we got you this used Toyota Tercel. And I go, okay, that's fine. So come home this weekend and get it or whatever. So I come home and then he goes, oh, can you get me a Coke in the outside fridge? Because that's where, and I go outside and there is a brand new Toyota Celica. Now they gave my sister Shannon the exact same Toyota Celica 2 years prior. Okay? In red. But for some reason, that day, Katrina was there with her kids and she just stormed out and, you know, I'm like crying. I couldn't believe it. Like they even did a bow. Like I never had anything. Like I was dying. Like I was like, it looks like a spaceship inside. Like I couldn't. And she was just furious because I guess she had borrowed like, you know, or asked my mother to get diapers and stuff for her the prior week. And my mom said, can I have the $12? And so she was like, but you're buying that little bitch, that SC sorority bitch, a Toyota Celica. And I kept going like, oh, my God. But like, Shannon has the same car. Neither of us are on loans. Like, I was just, it just, something about me, it was just so. So then throughout time, whenever she would get mad about something with my parents, she would say, we're not coming for Christmas. The kids and I aren't coming for Christmas. Well, they were pretty much the only fun thing about Christmas. Like, I'm in my 20s. None of us have kids. And they're like these two little cherubs, you know, and eventually a third one. And so we were always like, okay, we're sorry. We're sorry. You know, we're sorry. That's not what we meant. And it would be like these angry messages. And then at this point, she was having like a difficult time with her husband. And so it was always going back and forth and it just continued on. But at this whole time I'm dating. So I would go on these horrible dates and tell her about it. And she'd laugh and loved it. Then I met my husband and I think that was almost like weird for her because one thing my sister said to me, Shannon, she goes, well, she never wanted to be me. My sister's an attorney. She never wanted to be an attorney, but she was naturally funny. Both my parents are funny. We're all kind of funny. And my brother's a musician. Like we're all sort of creative. Shannon became more of a bookworm, but now she's really, you know, really quite funny too. As a, you know, as a mom, people hear us and they say we sound like she hung out with Rat at the Whiskey. And like there was always like on the verge of stardom. And then her kids were little kid actors, which was great. Like they modeled and they stayed in regular school. But it was a really, she was very good at that. But then, and she was happy when I got my first TV show. But something about once I got married or was getting married, it was like, and one day she said to somebody that it got back to me, like, I was okay when she was the funny comedian who wasn't in love and childless and might be childless forever, you know? But once I got married, and then, and I was a stepmother too, because my husband had a daughter, then, and when I, and but I chose to keep that from her from the wedding, because it was sort of like, that's a, another dramatic story, but I kind of kept it from her because I knew she would go around and say, I shouldn't marry him, and just because he has a child and things like that. So then when I finally told her afterwards, then she really went crazy. But prior to that, she was awful at the wedding, which is a ongoing theme with people who have written me since hearing it, is that the serial sibling, stepmother, brother, whatever it is, they choose the way. I mean, it happened at the wedding. She called me a C-U-N-T. She, you know, threatened to leave with her children, who are the flower girls. So I had to be apologizing to her. And I never wanted her in the wedding. I told my mother, because she was very difficult during my sister's wedding. She bought, she ordered a dress two sizes too small. We had to, seamstress had to add a panel in the back. The, you know, her daughter, she wasn't watching her daughter. I sat on the daughter's bottle that like spilled all over my dress in an hour and a half Catholic mass where my ass was just stained, and I don't have a good ass to begin with. And it was just, so with this time around, I go, listen, I'm going to forgo having bridesmaids so that, so then she can't get mad. Even though I'm only 29 at the time, I would have loved to have had my bridesmaids. They were, I was in a sorority. I was a girl's girl there. My mom's like, no, you have to have her. She will make our life a living hell. And you have to have the kids in the wedding. And now my parents were paying, and I didn't want to, you know, disturb my parents. And I go, all right. But I didn't have my husband's nieces in it. You know, they didn't care. You know, they understood. So I was like, okay, so they'll be in it. And so I'm still, nobody wants to be in with her. So I'll just have, I'll just have two matrons of honor. That's it. So then, you know, that bachelorette party, she gets in a, picks a fight with my best friend. They're fighting and crying. Then at the rehearsal dinner, she doesn't show, no, the rehearsal she doesn't show up for because she's getting her nails done. Not that it's that hard, but still she didn't know where to walk down. Then she comes to the rehearsal dinner and she's all pissed that I said no kids. So she's telling everybody, saying, you know, Heather is jealous of my daughters because they have more acting credits than she does. And I'm like, what? They're 8 and 4. Like, it was so weird. And I go, none of the kids are coming. It's a table of 20 and Peter's parents are paying. And like, they're kind of frugal. Like, we just want to keep it like under $500 or whatever. So then, you know, she's crying to my aunt. So then my friend apologizes. Then we get to the wedding. Then she starts yelling at me. She calls me a C-U-N-T, threatens to leave. We get to the wedding. Finally, she has fun at the wedding. She's doing the splits like Kyle Richards, flipping her hair around, having a great time. So then I finally, a couple weeks later, I tell her that, in fact, I'm a stepmother. And then that just spiraled her out of control. That, A, that I didn't share it with her, but I shared it with Shannon and one best friend. However, I didn't share it with my other best friend. I really only shared it with my parents and two people because I just didn't want everyone talking about it in the bathroom at the wedding, why I shouldn't, you know, marry this person. And so then, and then it really continued on to more and more drama. A first restraining order came after my son's first birthday. He's now 14. Second restraining order came in 2006 when she attempted to burn the bridesmaid's dress on my, as if I care what the, on my lawn of the house that we were remodeling. And then the latest one involved really around my mother's death. So it was just it's been horrible. So what happened is I got the restraining order. The final restraining order, like in, I want to say, end of October of 2015. And I started to tell the story in like March of 2016, like a few months later. And it's been incredible because I was so afraid that people would, every time I would share it on the show, I thought people would write me and be like, you're a horrible person. Why are you airing out this dirty laundry? Why are you saying this stuff? But it really was not. It was like, I couldn't believe the response of exactly what you said. Like, nobody talks about this. And I always wanted to talk about it because it didn't just happen. It's been going on for a solid like 13 years, you know. And then there'd be increments of time around my father's death that I sort of let her back in unwillingly. But like things like that. And so difficult with my sister, being that my sister's an attorney and has always helped them out legally and always felt that she was like the Switzerland, as she'd call herself. And it made it really so difficult. But on a theme of it was like, there's got to be a time in your life where you're like, yeah, we shared a roof. You know, we came down the same vaginal walls of our mother. But like, honestly, like, when can this stop? Because it's just absolutely torture. And it took me like marrying someone who was not raised in complete dysfunction to go, you do, like, this isn't right that she just burst into our front door and started screaming at you on a Tuesday night without any, while my husband's sitting there like in his shorts. And it was just, so, I mean, that is my story. And you can go back and listen because it is too long to tell in 10 minutes. But it does result in police removing her from my property and things like that.
Heather, that is an amazing story. And I am so sorry for you. Seriously, because I can sit here and I can see it's still painful.
I was just thinking about it yesterday. I was just thinking about yesterday laying in bed because, you know, I go, do I miss her? And I don't. I really don't, because it so much pain comes with it. I miss not being part of her children's lives.
Yeah, I was going to say, how are her children?
Well, her oldest son, it's not good. He recently was in D.C. and we hadn't talked in a while, but I thought we were on okay terms. And I don't know if he listens to the podcast or what. He may have. He may have gotten word of it. I mean, I did change the names, and he has a different last name, and I never involved him in it.
Sure.
But I was in D.C., and he posted this thing on Facebook that he was going to send 16 people to my show, and they were going to boo me and say awful things about me and ruin my show. And he texted me the same thing, and I was 90% sure he didn't have 16 friends that were willing to pay $30 to see me. And
right.
On the other hand, being funny, I was like, well, thanks for selling 16 tickets. But it made me very nervous. Like, it made me very nervous. I had to tell the people at the theater. I didn't know what I was going to get because I never have hecklers. Like,
sure.
So I was like, oh, my God. You know, I had the MC say, like, if anyone yells out, you're going to be asked to be removed. Because I'm like, even if he sent somebody, maybe they'd actually just want to stay. And so, yeah, that's really sad, you know.
And how are your parents?
So my parents are both passed. So that, I don't think I would have ever been able to tell the story if they were alive.
Yeah.
And because they would have coming back at her, which is why it was painful, why I think my sister Shannon did not enjoy that I shared the story on the podcast, because I think they knew about it and they heard about it, and then they'd call her and yell at her about me.
Does that happen?
I think it has. We finally came to a point, Shannon and I, over the holidays. There was two incidences with the jacuzzi and too much Rumbauer Chardonnay, where even though we had a great time, we started to get into it around my mother's death and the funeral and all of that.
Yeah.
And it happened the day before Thanksgiving. And then the next day we just were like, Catholic dysfunction. Forget about it. I had a great time. And then it happened again over Christmas in her jacuzzi. First time was my jacuzzi. Both time with Rumbauer. No offense to Rumbauer. And then second time was her jacuzzi. And then we had a talk at the end of the visit. We still had a great visit, but we did have like, we got into it.
Yeah.
And I said, you know, there was a time between the second and the third restraining order where I said, I'm not going to ask you about her anymore. As much as I'm curious, because there's always drama and things.
Always, yeah.
I said, that's kind of me trying to seek the juicy scoop. And that's sort of unethical. Like, I shouldn't ask. If I'm not going to be part of her life and I'm not going to help,
right,
I'm not going to ask. And then that way you can't get mad at my reaction.
You can't feed the fuel. You can't fuel the fire.
We managed to go many years without ever talking about her. And I would know about the kids and stuff through my mother. And but I didn't see them because I never wanted to piss her off, because that had that was part of getting, that was part of the explosion in 2006 was I had
seen the kids.
I had, yes, her daughter had babysat for me. And so with that, you know, and my sister Shannon, being that she was never the target,
right,
it was very hard for her to
fully understand.
And I felt, believe me, that I truly was this afraid and distraught and a victim from it. Because,
right.
Oh, that's just crazy Katrina kind of shit. And I was like, no,
well, you
it
know what? Maybe
haunts
a lawyer,
me.
Maybe a lawyer can compartmentalize it like that. But as an artist and who you are, you deeply feel things. Listen, I'm the youngest of six from Pittsburgh, Catholic.
Oh, my God. It's such
we
a running theme,
so
let me tell you.
So much dysfunction in our family. And it always centers around my oldest sister.
Okay.
And just like you said, she was the only child just for about a year and a half or 2 years.
Yeah.
But then five more kids came.
Mm-hmm.
So she had that year and a half of a golden period when she was just a baby and she got all the attention, and then it was stripped away. And so there has always been her and us. She's over there, and then there's us. She's always been separated.
Wow.
Even growing up, she's the only one that had her own room, and then we all had to share rooms. In fact, my one sister and I didn't even have a bedroom till I was 11. We slept in the living room on the couch. So my point
is— Well, she had her own room?
Yeah, exactly. Because she never, she just wouldn't play nice. And instead of stopping the madness,
they protected.
Everybody fed into it. Everybody apologizes.
Yes.
Everybody goes right into it. They just let her get away with acting completely inappropriate. And everybody else just sees it as, this is how we deal with it. And see, now I live, because I'm in California, of course, my family's in Pennsylvania. So for me, the distance has meant the world. Now, you don't have distance. You all live in Southern California?
Well, yes. And when I bought the house, my house in 2005 or six, and I bought this house that needed work, but right next door to my parents.
Yeah.
And at the time that I moved next to my parents, it was just my parents living there. Nobody else was living there. They're old, you know? Well, the nephew moved in. And he was okay at the time. And the nephew moved in. She then would be able to go there sometimes. She was estranged from them for a while, but then she would go. And so I felt very, like, exposed being, because we don't live behind gates or anything. And so, yes, in the fact that, like, my brother, because I have a serial brother, too, the fact that my brother and her could, like, just come to my house anytime they want and bang on the door is why the cops have removed her three times from my property. So my sister, Shannon, has lived in Palm Desert behind gates for over 17 years.
Yeah.
So when I would try to explain the fear I feel, you know, I go, not only are you behind gates, but it would take gas money. It would take a car that's worthy of driving 3 hours.
Sure,
These aren't wealthy people. And so they're not going to go bug you. But they also, she was also never the target like me.
Yeah. Yeah, it sounds like she wasn't the target. You were always the target. It sounds like she is just desperately, she's obviously intimidated by you. She's obviously jealous of you. And
it's so funny because growing up, I always hate when someone says they're jealous, because I think if you agree with that, it's a very conceited thing to say. So for me to say someone's jealous of me, I interpret that as me being conceited.
No.
Because why would say?
But it's not about being personal. It's
right.
Just facts. Facts are facts.
I mean,
your face is all different places, and you sell out shows, and you have a degree of success.
But it's interesting because she will still say that. Like, she will still post things on Facebook and say that I've been so jealous of her, and she said that I stole all her comedic material. And that I'm stealing all her, and I'm like, from what? Like, we've been estranged for like 15 years.
Yeah.
What stories am I telling?
Do you have her blocked on all media, on all social
media? I do, but she's tried to find her way.
What does she want to do? What is her end goal? I don't understand. To ruin your life?
I think she doesn't like to be ignored. But I mean, the restraining orders will do that.
Yeah.
But they only last for so many years. So when the one expired, then I just, since she hadn't, time does really help when you're dealing with a crazy person.
Yeah.
The more time that goes on that you don't have contact, the better.
Right.
So they worked for a while. And then they expired. And since I hadn't heard anything and I didn't really have reason to go, they don't want to give them out easily.
Do they cost money? Does it cost money to get a restraining
order?
Not
a lot. It's just, it's time and filing like maybe a little fee, but it's not a lot of money. No.
Yeah. Okay.
But you can do it yourself. But you got to be pretty savvy and smart. And you go down, you have to fill out the paperwork, and then you have to have a good reason. And they'll always try for you not to. They'll be like, Well, is there ways that you could work it out? Could you get rid of your phone number? No, I can't because I've had it for
that's terrible.
15 years and some people find me and no, I'm not getting rid of my phone number.
No, to be expected to do that. That's crazy.
You know, because it was like the incessant calls and all that. So then they would say, okay, well, you have to serve her that you're getting a temporary so that she can be heard in court to defend why she shouldn't have one against her. And so the time we've done that, and the first time my dad was my witness. So she said she saw my dad with me at Van Nuys. So she was so disgusted. So she didn't show up. So then I got it.
Yeah.
And then the other time she did show up, the latest time she did show up, and somehow my husband got someone to serve her or something. And then it was granted. And then once it's granted, then it just has to be mailed, certified mail. So it doesn't have to
First of all, I love your husband. He seems like such a great, like a rudder in your life, like just a solid, solid rock. He really seems
to be tell you,
a really good
man. It did
man.
Not help a marriage to have a sister like this.
No, but that's one of the reasons you chose the right partner, though,
yeah,
to help you through
this.
Yeah,
but I mean, we still would get in arguments about it because it was like, why did you go have lunch with your niece?
Right.
Why did you there's things like that. Right. So that's why in coming around, my niece, the one niece, there's the nephew who forget. That last thing, I was like, wow, he's just as effed up. And he's 30, so he's not going to change. And I still get, he told all the creditors that he lives with me. So I get all the letters. I just got another
one
from his college. He owes him $56,000.
So listen, here's what I want to know. So this is like an ongoing thing. But what is the end? You're going to do this series, Serial Sister, and you're going to talk to other people about it.
I'm actually starting another show.
Right.
Which is a little teaser, if who's ever listening, probably in about a month, that will really be all about this because I have so many letters and juicy stories about it and questions and things. So it's going to be, there's so many levels of this. There's serial roommates or serial sororities where you end up with someone that for whatever reason, you're stuck in this like cyclone and you are a target and you make them crazy. They're not like this with everybody.
Right. The only power you have is to say nothing. I mean, it's like, it's a loss on more than just, it's not
and
the
I,
loss of her. It's the loss of your niece, the loss of your nephew, the loss of talking to Shannon about your family.
Right.
It's like the loss of a part of your lineage. So it's a big thing. However, when you're up against crazy, you don't have a choice because, you know, they say the whole definition of insanity is to keep going back and thinking you're going to get a different response.
Right.
Well, so now at least you have on your side the knowledge and the power, and you're really actually going to help other people, Heather. I swear to God, you're going to help other people.
No, I mean, I know I have because people have said that, and that's like that's the best part because I wasn't getting anything, you know, I was getting it from my two best friends. My two best friends I've known since 6'14", from 6 and 14. Okay, so the three of us, Tara and Liz, they've seen it all.
Yeah.
So I almost was like, well, they're my sisters.
Then
they were like, no, you can't turn your back on Shannon. And I didn't want to turn my back on Shannon, but it was so painful that I just didn't feel like I was being believed. And I was like, she's been doing this for 50 years to us.
But Shannon's in your life
from the moment
now.
She pinched you. Yes.
Yeah, of course.
And I was like, when will you accept it?
Yeah, but you're talking about putting on what you need for what you're saying your sister needs the kind of closure you need. Maybe she doesn't need that. Like as a lawyer,
No. I mean, if she still wants to have a relationship with her, but I was saying like to not get the empathy from the immediate family.
Yeah, but again, that's just another one of the losses.
Right.
That's just another loss.
I couldn't.
That you have.
So I had to finally accept that.
Yeah.
Like,
I finally
accepted that we will never see the incidences happen the same.
Fucking life is so hard, isn't it? And it doesn't matter about money. It doesn't matter how successful you become. You know, it's just life is fucking hard. And something that podcasting does, I swear to God, and talking out about stuff like this is like, it happens. It happens to every walk of life,
right.
Stuff comes down. So this is really, you're doing everybody a big service, and everybody's going to listen to Serial Sister. It'll be on a part of Wondery Media, right?
I'm working on a show that will encompass another podcast. It'll be coming in a few weeks, so just keep listening to Juicy Scoop, and I will let you know when it drops. But it will be It'll be a lot of this type of juicy serial siblings stories that I've collected over the year and talked to people that have really interesting stories and perspectives about this.
Yeah. I think it's fascinating. I'm really impressed that you're doing this.
Now, can I ask you, do the other siblings talk to the mean older sister?
They do because they all live in the Pittsburgh area. See, me, because of geography, I was able to split. And now I don't have to have any, you know.
Now, do they tell you about her craziness?
Course. Yes, and the drama never stops. Single month, it's no matter how many, whether it's about Christmas presents, it could be about food, it could be about swimming, it could be about laundry, it could be about anything.
Now, does she have kids?
The result is always crazy talk. Yeah, she has two kids. They're grown now. Yeah, but it's a really tricky thing. So
you'll come on my new show.
I will come on your new show,
yes.
And I will talk about it, really, because I have a lot to share as well. And you know, we're talking about how the wedding brought a lot on.
Yes.
For me, it was my father's death. And
the funerals.
Those kinds of
funerals
things.
And weddings I can't even tell you how many stories. And I have to say, the big Catholic family is a major running theme of the serial adult sibling relationships.
It's true. Although I have to tell you, I have a really good friend from Cyprus. So she's Cypriot, and her family, it seems just like mine.
Yeah.
Maybe they're Catholic, though. Maybe that's the tie. Now
I mean,
that
it's
I think
not
of it.
All. I just find it interesting when it's like a big family where, you know, you probably shouldn't have had that many kids.
Hey, by the way,
you
know your initials spell Ham.
Yes, I do.
I just want to throw that out there.
Thanks.
Okay, you guys, listen. You guys,
very appropriate.
Got to catch Heather McDonald. You can find her on Twitter at Heather McDonald. You can also find her at heathermcdonald.net. And listen to Juicy Scoop. Honestly, it's damn funny. It's light.
Yeah, I have comedians on. I just had Josh Mankiewicz from Dateline on.
It's very entertaining.
I have reality stars. I have, you know, all different stuff, and I talk about all juicy things that are happening.
Yeah, it's very lighthearted.
Just not politics. That's my new ban on politics. Yeah. But it's all celebrity breakups, hookups, interesting stories in the news, as well as some of my favorite reality shows,
so
like Housewives.
Do you have an opinion about what's going on in the political environment right now? Or
That it's such a mess that I want my show to be a respite from it, because there's so many places, and especially on social media too. So I have a Juicy Scoop Obsessed fan page that's a closed group, but anyone can join, providing
no
you're not
politics.
Weird. I just put up no politics just because I just want people to be able to go there and know that they won't see it. And it's not that, and it's not like I don't care about it. It's just like, I just want there to be a place that you can go to escape it a little.
It's really
hard.
Because
that's everywhere.
Where like cat videos come in and things like that. Because I turn on Twitter and then it's just screaming. It's just someone screaming. It's really hard. But then again, got to say your mind at the same time. So
but it's nice to know you can
balance.
Go watch something.
Yeah, and I turn
and
on
know
music.
It's not going to be popped up. And then when you want to catch up, you're like, okay, let me go catch up and then let me go
My daughter and
take
I listen
shower.
To a lot of music. We play a lot of board games these days. We're just toning it back, you know, kicking it back.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you so much
Thank
for coming.
You.
I really appreciate it. Join us next week on Storyworthy for a story about performing on a cruise ship by the hilarious Kathy Ladman.
I continued to deliver material that I had delivered many times before to appreciative, laughing crowds, and the audience continued to give me nothing. They were consistent. I gave them that.
Don't miss comedian Kathy Ladman next week on Storyworthy. And I want to thank everybody here at Wondery Sunset Studio, including our sound engineer, Ray. Thanks, Ray. And one more time for our storyteller today, Heather McDonald. Just fantastic. Again, follow her at heathermcdonald.net and on Twitter at Heather McDonald. And on behalf of everybody here at Wondery, my name is Christine Blackburn, saying, make it a story-worthy week.
Thanks for joining us on the Storyworthy Podcast. We'll be back next week with all new stories. Subscribe to Storyworthy on iTunes and visit the Storyworthy website at storyworthypodcast.com.
In New Orleans, it's almost time for Mardi Gras when millions of people come to town to play, party, and have one of the most exciting times of their lives.
Unfortunately, behind all the parades, the music, the costumes, there are predators waiting for the chance to catch unsuspecting prey.
From New Orleans to Baton Rouge to small towns like Jennings, Louisiana has dark and dangerous bayous that hold the secrets of the dead.
Coming up on the next Real Crime Profile, we start a series of podcasts about the victims of several serial killers who operated in Louisiana, terrorizing the state and murdering both men and women of every race, economic status, and sexual orientation.
You may have heard the names of some of these infamous killers, but we want to make sure you also learn the names of their victims.
I'm Jim Clementi, former FBI profiler.
I'm Laura Richards, former criminal behavioral analyst at New Scotland Yard, and you may remember us from CBS's investigative series, The Case of JonBenet Ramsey.
And I'm Lisa Zambetti, casting director for CBS's Criminal Minds.
Together, we are the Real Crime Profile team.
And if you're looking for a new true crime podcast to listen to, then you'll definitely want to check us out.
Yes, Jim and Laura draw upon their combined 50 years experience in law enforcement, and I'm there to ask them questions that you, the listener, want to hear.
Join us as we explore fascinating high-profile cases in the media, as well as important cases you may have never heard of.
And our focus is always on the victim and ensuring that they have a voice.
So check out Real Crime Profile, part of the Wondery Network, on iTunes, SoundCloud, Stitcher, or wherever you listen to this podcast. And you can join in on the conversation by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Real Crime Profile.